Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show with FM Talk 106.5. So coming to the program, State Senator Chris Elliott about an hour from now. And the possibility that Katie Britt might hop on with us before now at the end of the program to talk about this $550 million grant for the I-10 bridge that was announced this morning. So stick around for that. But joining us now, he is the pro tem of the Alabama House of Representatives and represents you guys out in Mobile. State Representative, or should I say House Pro Tem, Chris Pringle joins us. Good morning, Representative. How are you?
I'm great. And I tell you what, that announcement today is incredible. You know, people don't realize this, but when I worked for Jack Edwards back in 1984 on Capitol Hill, we were talking about this, you know, this bridge to cross the river back in 84. That's 40 years we've been talking about this. So, I mean, to see that move forward is just tremendous for our docks in particular. We've got, you know, thousands of containers coming in our docks. We've got to disperse them. We've got to get them out of our docks and onto the interstate system and out of Mobile as fast as possible. So we're thrilled.
Well, that's good to hear. You know, what do you think, though? I mean, what else can – is there anything the state can do, or is it just what's left to be done from a – at least your standpoint, you think, on this?
Get it built. We approved a contract yesterday, a contract with you for an engineering firm to do construction management. So we're moving forward on a project that's been needed for a long time. I mean, that interstate, going through the Mobile on I-10 this time of year, it's a parking lot. Every Friday afternoon, every Saturday, Sunday, it's just terrible. And during the week, too. My understanding is 18-wheelers, if they have a load and they have to go through Mobile carrying a load, they add $150 to their trip just because of the traffic problems and the tunnels.
Well, let me ask you this. We'll get you on to what we're scheduled to talk about. What do you think of this? And since you're in the construction and renovation business, what do you think of this construction management approach the state's taking on some of these big projects?
You know, that all goes back to that whole Reynolds case that held our Aldot up for, 35, 38 years or something. And it hurt Aldot, and it's going to take Aldot a while to get out from underneath it. And it's probably the best way we have right now, building highways and bridges in the state, given the circumstances.
Okay. Let's talk about this, and I talked to the speaker about a week ago about this, but you know, we have a law now on the books that is has raised a penalty for fentanyl trafficking, and like there was nothing really before this. So what I've been told is that we're actually seeing some tangible results here. Is that what you're hearing?
Oh, definitely. I mean, kind of what happened. I mean, we had this problem. We created this drug addiction to opioids. You know, when we had these pill mills, and they were getting people, you know, hooked on opioids. And then we shut down the pill mills, but we didn't solve the demand problem. And, you know, China saw an opportunity, and they've been sending their fentanyl into Mexico, and the drug cartels have been using the open border to bring just tremendous amounts of fentanyl into this country. I mean, in 1 year alone, they captured a billion fentanyl tablets. Well, they're only catching 10%, so think of how much fentanyl is being poured into this country. We started seeing a huge spike in deaths. Last year alone in Alabama, we had over 15 people died from fentanyl. And so it's kind of a two-pronged approach. Representative Matt Simpson passed a bill that enhanced the penalties for trafficking fentanyl. If you're caught selling it, your penalties, your prison time goes up. My bill says if you are selling fentanyl and you cause somebody's death, we can charge you with manslaughter now. So it's a two-pronged approach, and it's paying dividends. We've had several people arrested. We have four people arrested in Baldwin County for selling fentanyl to a young teenage girl, from what I understand, and it killed her. They arrested those four people and charged them with manslaughter. And a week later, they arrested two of them again for an additional manslaughter charge. And I think we have a case in North Alabama on the same thing. So it's very rewarding to see a bill that was signed into law in April, and it's already taken effect, and we're able to put these drug dealers away.
Well, and this gets me to my next question. Like these, I guess it's just this. We're like in this brave new world or whatever you want to call it. And we're playing catch up, aren't we? Like with fentanyl, but also with some of the crime in some of the cities in this state. I mean, is that sort of like keeping you guys on your toes in the state house?
Well, I remember when we had the methamphetamine epidemic, and we were always fighting meth because we would make a certain type of meth illegal, or the drug dealers just, they tweaked the recipe so it wasn't technically illegal. So we finally just, you know, wrote a law that captured all of it, which is what we've done with this bill, because the bill actually reads methanol and or it is. So they try and tweak the recipe and still get them. But, you know, the legislature, this problem was created when we opened that border and the Chinese started taking advantage of it with the drug cartels out of Mexico, flooding the market with it. And, you know, in Alabama, I can't do anything about the open border, but I can make it, you know, perfect, well known that if you're a drug dealer and you bring that garbage into the state of Alabama and we catch you with it, you're going to spend a long time in jail. So you don't want to bring it to Alabama.
Well, now the apple seeds and Arise, whatever the left wing groups are, I lose track. They say, well, you just keep passing these laws, but you don't know where to put these people. What do you say to that? I mean, is there any do you worry about that? That I mean, there's so much of the judicial discretion and dealing with that this law. It's gonna be hard to enforce just because of the circumstances, or hard to, I guess, not enforce, but hard to exact the punishment that you would like to see because of the circumstances.
Well, you know, those liberal organizations are opposed to putting anybody in jail. But if you're killing family members and friends with this poison, you need to go to jail. You're killing people. What crime is it that you shouldn't go to jail for? You've murdered an innocent person. I think you deserve to go to jail. And you're selling poison that kills people. You need to go to jail. And that's just the way the system works. You break the law, you go to jail.
Well, that's just what I was getting at. Like, we don't have a place to put them, do we? Do you worry about that? I guess the prisons are coming along, and we'll see someday, but We pass all these laws, and I think they do what they're supposed to as intended, but the system itself is flawed.
I mean, the system is, we've got problems in our prison system. There's no doubt about it. That's the reason why we're building new prisons to house these people, because we have a very violent, violent prison population. And the people who are nonviolent, been paroled, but we're down to the people who are truly violent people, but so are these drug dealers. So these drug dealers, if they're not selling enough of their product, they will actually add fentanyl to it in order to make sure they kill some people because their drug sales go up. That's how callous these people are. That's the level of callousness and disregard for human life. And if you're that callous, you need to go to jail for a long time.
And we are in Mobile, Alabama, or along this I-10 corridor. I mean, there are places in the state where this is trafficked, right? This is where it's not just here in Alabama, but this is the pipeline for a lot of places around the country, getting from point A, which I would assume is probably somewhere in Mexico across the border and up into the rest of the country.
For sure. I-10 to go up I-65 to continue on I-10 over to, was it I-95 on the East Coast?
Right.
It's a major. But you know, these drug cartels, they use U.S. Highway 80, use Highway 82. They sometimes run the back roads because they think there's less drug enforcement or drug eradication on those. I drive I-65 all the time, and I see drug enforcement units on the interstate constantly. But don't necessarily see them on some of these other highways cutting through the state.
Right. Well, that's just kind of it. Like, you didn't have an enforcement mechanism. And the idea that the stuff was coming through the state and headed to other places. And now it's not just protecting people in Alabama. I mean, it's something other. You would think other states maybe have some more measures enacted, but particularly here in Alabama, kind of doing our part to stop this.
Well, you know, unfortunately, the legislative process, by its very design and nature, is often a reactionary process. I mean, we try and stay in front of stuff, issues, but oftentimes, you know, the issues just present themselves to us, and we have to react to them. And that's what's happened with fentanyl. I mean, nobody ever saw this plague coming until it hit us.
Right. Other, you know, talk about this, enforcing this. I mean, and I think about this all the time. Whenever you add another law to the books, you got to, like, just get, the law has to be enforced. Is this coming at an additional cost? I mean, like, what resources does law enforcement need to be equipped with to handle fentanyl enforcement?
Well, in the beginning, our drug tox screens weren't catching fentanyl. So they were declaring people overdosing on heroin or cocaine or something because the drug screens weren't catching fentanyl. We've improved that. Baldwin County, they have a swab they use. They swab the deceased person's gum, and that's how they were able to arrest these people so fast because they tested positive for fentanyl right there on the spot. So they could go after people. I see increased calls. I mean, you'd still have a death. You'd still have an arrest for a distribution of a controlled substance. All these laws are doing are just enhancing the penalties and making it so these people go to jail for longer periods of time.
Well, yeah, and if you're but I mean, handling this stuff is dangerous. It's hazardous, right? You're talking about Narcan, but you know, if just a little bit. These law enforcement officers have to put themselves on the line for this stuff, right? Like, it's not, it's almost like handling some kind of toxic waste.
I was terrible because in a meeting with the Drug Education Council in Mobile, I did not know this. You know why they're selling multiple packs of Narcan now? Because Narcan doesn't work on fentanyl. It'll bring you back from a heroin overdose or cocaine overdose, but on a fentanyl overdose, it will get you breathing again, very, you know, on a temporary basis. But eventually, the fentanyl overcomes the Narcan, and you quit breathing again. So they have to hit you again with Narcan, keep you around until paramedics or somebody get there, and they can, you know, start breathing for you.
Yeah, and you know, just it's just a matter of like public safety and making sure that the officers are taken care of too, and you know, right.
Exactly. I mean, you know, these drug dealers have brought this problem to our doorstep, and we have to address it now. And it's going to cost law enforcement more money to protect first responders, you know, firemen, policemen, everybody. And, you know, now it's kind of the point where you're scared to even provide assistance if you find somebody on the street. You don't know they've OD'd on fentanyl, whether there's, you know, or what the problem is. So it is a poison in our community. And out there, yeah, these children, these young kids are buying stuff off the internet. They don't know it's a pill that was made in China. And they think they're buying, you know, one thing, and they take it, and it kills them. And this is very personal for me. A friend of mine's son had surgery, got addicted to opioids, like so many people did back in the day. And, you know, they got him off opioids. They sent him to rehab. And this drug dealer is relentless. He would go to Narcan meetings, and grab the guy when he came out and start trying to get him to buy drugs. And he was blowing his phone up to the point where the kid got a new cell phone number. So the dealer couldn't, you know, call him. The dealer went and knocked on his mother's door and said, "Hey, your son showed me a piece of real estate, you know, 6 or 8 months ago, and I've got the money to buy it now, but I can't get in touch with him." And the mother, thinking it was a real estate deal and not a drug dealer, she gave him a new phone number. And the drug dealer finally wore this poor boy down, sold him a pill, and it turned out it was fentanyl, and it killed him.
Well, it makes sense that y'all did something here. Real quick, just a couple more minutes here, Pro Tem. We're talking about what, looking ahead to this next session and beyond. I mean, like, you've gotten a lot of you guys getting a lot done, I think, even if you take gambling out of it, so far. What's left to do besides, I mean, we would think ethics. What do you have that you're looking at?
Well, I think we are going to deal with ethics because, you know, we did a contract yesterday with an attorney to analyze the ethics laws in the state of Alabama and the proposed changes to them. But don't forget, we've got a trial in November on the state Senate districts. So we might be dealing with Senate redistricting in the next session, which, you know, that would consume a tremendous amount of time, you know. And then in February, we go to trial on yet another congressional redistricting case. So,
well, and I talked to your counterpart in the Senate about this. I mean, do you, and a lot of people tell me this all the time, Pro Tem, that it looks like potentially you got to get another crack at even the congressional districts too.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see what the federal court rules. I mean, basically, in 2017, the federal court slapped our hand and said, you relied too heavily on race and drawing your districts. You need to draw your districts more race neutral and not rely on race to do it. So when we redrew the legislative districts, they said, perfect, that's what we wanted. Less emphasis on race. So when we start this process, I remember telling the lawyers, all we got to do is follow the law. We're going to be fine. We don't have to do anything nefarious. And, you know, I had lawsuits pending against me before I ever introduced a congressional plan. The League of Women Voters had already sued me. And we thought we followed the law. Then the courts came back and said, no, you didn't rely heavily enough on race. And you have to draw, you know, relying on race to make these districts. So I'm like, tell me what I do. One time you tell me don't rely on race. One time you tell me to rely on race. Like, just tell us what we have to do to comply with the law. It's too confusing.
Representative, you're always generous with your time. Best of luck out there in that heat. Stay safe, but thanks for coming on.
Enjoyed it. Have a good weekend. Be safe.
That was House Pro Tem Chris Pringle there. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. He said, I'm depending on your son.